Our scripture reading comes from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5, verses 26, 27, and 31. It can be found in your Pew Bible, page 1 and 2. Have you all found it? In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was formless, void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God said, God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning the first day. Then God said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all wild animals of the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. We end with, God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning the sixth day. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Praise God.
Do you remember some things that happened over the last several weeks? Do you remember on Christmas that there was a baby that was born in a manger to Mary and Joseph? Do you remember that? And there were angels that came and heralded him, do you recall? And shepherds that came and praised him in awe. Do you remember that? After 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child, and he was called Jesus, and the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You know, Jefferson Avenue asked the kiddos what day this was. You know, each Sunday has a liturgical day. This group, that's not the discussion to have for them. I don't think we would have gotten too far. But I'll ask you, you've heard of the liturgical day. There's the 23rd Sunday of Pentecost, or the second Sunday of Lent, or what do you suppose the name of this Sunday is? Some of you are peeking at your bulletins to see if I put it in there. I tell you, it's a huge problem because it can be many different things. This is the first Sunday after Christmas, so it could be that. This is the New Year's Day Sunday, since it happened to fall on New Year's, so it could be that day. This is also could be the Holy Name of Jesus Sunday. So let's do three. I have three sermons here. They're each about 20 minutes long. Now, let's just call it Sunday, shall we? We'll call it Sunday and proceed from there. Sorry. Imago Dei, that's what that says there in Latin. We'll get to that in a minute. How many of you have seen some of the tributes that they've been having for people that have passed this last year?
You know, we've lost some wonderful and influential people, and we celebrate them and remember them. But I think sometimes we need to not just think about what's behind, but think about what we've achieved and where we are. I saw a written article that said that the scientists have found a 100% effective vaccine against Ebola. I can't believe that was not a headline. I can't believe that that word has not been spread around. That's amazing, wonderful news. I mean, think about what Ebola, the fear it was, the number of deaths that were involved, and they've got a vaccine that appears to be a 100% vaccine. That's awesome. That's humanity doing things at its very best, isn't it? And did you see there was a video on the news of a guy driving his car somewhere in Scandinavian countries, and they're driving on the interstate. He was in a Tesla X, and the Tesla warns you if you're about to rear-end somebody or something, and he had a dash cam that was recording everything in the car, and the car alerted them that there was an accident a split second before the cars in front of them had the accident. Did you see that? I watched the video several times, and indeed, it flashes a warning sound and begins to decelerate before the two cars collide and the one car rolls. This is great. Think about what that means for safety. Think about they're projecting the number of lives that'll be able to save, to have cars that have some intelligence and some ability. Self-driving cars. Imagine someday you'll be driving down the road, you'll be able to look over at a self-driving car, and it'll be driving along, drinking a cup of coffee, texting, and putting on makeup right next to you. Come on. Don't you see that every morning when you're commuting somewhere? In reality, there is a concern. Most transplants, organ donations, come from automobile accidents, and they are concerned that it will reduce the number of accidents to the point that there will be a problem with donations of transplants. So we'll figure that one out as we get along, but let's work it and be aware of the awesomeness that smart people are doing. This is magic, in my opinion. But for your car to take care of you and to save you is not a bad thing. We wouldn't mind that, would we, in our general lives? How many of you would like to have something automated that would save us in our everyday moments in life? You know, the stumbling and tripping down the stairs, or standing up underneath the cabinet door and knocking yourself out, or all of those things that we do, those wouldn't it be nice to have something save us? And I can't tell you that's probably going to happen, but it's a long-standing human wish. The Greek tragedy. How many of you have ever seen a Greek play, a Greek tragedy? I'm sorry for you. They're long, aren't they? They're about however many hours long, and they're so depressing. But it was the Greek tradition. But one of the things about the Greek tragedies, things would go wrong. Terrible things would happen. People would get themselves in messes, usually from hubris or what have you. But as a part of the Greek theater, they had a crane, and it would lower a character down that was a god. And at the worst possible moment, this god would be winched down into the scene, and the god would take care of everything and then disappear back into the heavens. The term is Deus ex machina, machine of the gods. And it's a part of that tradition. They believed that the gods caused things to happen badly, and then they would come and fix them as well. And I think humans are we all kind of pine for that Deus ex machina, that superhero, that Captain America or Supergirl. Supergirl now, isn't it? Or Iron Man, or all of those, or Peyton Manning that will jump in and save us all. We're waiting for that superhuman salvation. If this were the name of Jesus Sunday, we might stop and ask what Jesus' name is. His first name is Jesus, but his last name is not Christ. He is the Christ, Jesus the Christ, the Messiah. Some kids struggle with that because they've heard it said so many times, but we need to unpack that. He's Jesus of Nazareth, or Jesus, the son of Joseph and Mary. And understanding, what is the name? Is it Jesus or is he Christ? And struggle with that. Had a professor in seminary, he said, Jesus and Christ are not the same thing. Jesus is the human born in the manger, innocent, helpless, amongst poor peasant family, in a stable, grew up human, lived a human life, but he becomes the Christ when he becomes the Savior of humanity. The Messiah, the one that saves us, that delivered us from sin. So the two names, he's the same. Jesus is both. we need to balance the two of those out. The early disciples, as soon as they began their ministry, they wanted to talk more about the divine side. That's a lot more popular. That's a lot more attractive to people to know that here is this superhero Deus Ex Machina that can do these wonderful miracles. So they would talk about those in depth. Have you ever wondered why Jesus didn't just gather huge gatherings and do lots of miracles? Think of how many people he could have converted so much more rapidly. But think about what it was he was about. He wasn't about gaining notoriety or popularity. He was about changing people, heart to heart, person to person. There was a lot of competition at that age when the disciples were beginning, and when Jesus was alive, the Canaanite religion of worship of Baal was quite popular. And Baal was the god of all the universe, the weather, all that happened. And so to compete against such an all-powerful God, they almost felt pressed to increase the divinity of Jesus. And yet I think we lose something if we let go of the humanity of Jesus. That's why we read this passage this morning, the creation passage. James did a great job. God created humankind in his image. Male and female, he created them. That's you and I. The picture of the Sistine Chapel, that's that painting of Michelangelo. That's that instant of creation. That's the instant of the spark of life that God gave to humanity. And Jesus is human. In the image of God, but human. Think about what that means. Think about the difference of what that means. Sometimes we don't want to talk about the human Jesus. We'd rather have the divine Jesus, the God part that helps us, carries us, fixes the problems we get ourselves into. But we get what we need, not necessarily what we want. In the New Testament, when Jesus refers to himself or when he is referred to, approximately 85 times in the New Testament, mostly in the Gospels, but some in the Epistles. But instead of calling himself the Christ or God or any other, he calls himself the Son of Man. I always struggled with that when I was first reading the Bible, first exposed to the Gospels. I thought, well, why does he keep emphasizing that he's the Son of Man? That's not a big deal. It's the Son of God part that is amazing. And yet, the Son of Man, Filius Hominos, this is the piece that he referred to himself. Why would that be so important? How many of you remember? There are four Gospels. Do you remember them? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. You got a little bit of the teacher in me there. You remember Mark? Whenever Jesus did a miracle, he would do a miracle. Someone was hurting, somebody needed something, and he would go person to person, and he would help them. And then he said, now, tell no one about this. Why would he do that? You see, he wasn't out trying to build popularity. He wasn't out trying to win over people's thoughts and minds. He was healing and loving and sharing and growing each other. Again, person to person, one to one. Christ to be, but Jesus human. We are in the image of God. How many of you feel like you're in the image of God? Yeah, there's a piece of me that is. There's some other piece that needs to get shaped up a little here, don't you? Yeah. But think about that. What that means to us. If God created humanity in God's image, we are made in the image of God. And if God created Christ, born as a baby, a human baby in the world, what does that mean? And what does that mean to us then? What does it mean? Here is Jesus who lived a life of perfection. How many of you are living a life of perfection? Good, good. You're right on track there. How many of us are moving on to perfection? The bishop comes and she says, how are you? You're going to respond to her, we're moving on to perfection, bishop. None of you will remember that. That's okay. But you see, that's something that we need to contemplate and think about. In this new year, let's not wait for some divine intervention, the Deus Ex Machina, Iron Man, Superman, Supergirl, Captain America, to come and solve the problems of society around us. The government won't do it. The politicians are not going to be able to do it. They've proved that. Administrations can't do it. And maybe churches cannot do it. But we can do it as disciples. St. Teresa of Avila put it this way. She says, we are the hands and arms of Christ. Contemplate that. Think about what that means. We are made in the image of God. We are the hands and arms of Christ. So for your New Year's resolution, what part of Christ's work will we be about?